You might remember about a fortnight ago, we spoke to the organisers for the School Strike for Climate. About a month ago, you might remember the nurse and midwives rallies around Australia, around New South Wales. And you might even remember this time last week, a bill was passed through the New South Wales Parliament, the Road and Crimes Legislation Amendment Bill. And, well, it's being called the anti-protest law. And essentially, it might mean something like being able to stand up for what you think, stand up for what you believe in, hit the street and say, no, this isn't good enough. I don't know, it could be in trouble. It could be gone. Could it? Well, let's speak to David Shoebridge, Greens member of the Legislative Council here in New South Wales, to find out a little bit more. How's it going, David?
Yeah, not too bad. Keeping my nose down, trying not to get arrested this morning.
So essentially, as I said, it is called the Road and Crimes Legislation Amendment Bill. Essentially what they're saying, or at least the two major parties were saying, that it's to stop disruption to roads, to ports and such, the things that get in people's ways. But people are coining it the anti-protest law. Is it somewhere in between? What do you think it actually is?
No, it is an anti-protest law, and the government and the opposition made it very clear that they want to be able to jail peaceful, non-violent protesters who cause disruption. They said it repeatedly throughout the debate in the House.
Right. But what kind of disruption is it? Is it so clear-cut that you think it's only a couple of steps away, or I don't know? Are you peering at something that it might turn into eventually?
Oh no, they said very clearly that if somebody disrupts traffic on any road, any main road, that's George Street in the city or Oxford Street, if they disrupt traffic and they haven't got the prior consent of the police, that they intend to prosecute them and they want to put them in jail, and they want to put them in jail for up to 2 years. Now, you know, you think about the 78ers who protested on Oxford Street against police violence at the start of the Mardi Gras. They didn't have police consent. And quite often when we see LGBTI activists wanting to campaign on Oxford Street, they don't have police consent. And in fact, they don't want police at their rallies. And if they block traffic on Oxford Street, they could all face up to 2 years in jail or a $22,000 fine. And they amended both the Roads Act and the Crimes Act. And one of the things with the Crimes Act is if you are at or near an infrastructure facility and you in any way obstruct any kind of access to the infrastructure facility, then you can also be prosecuted and for a maximum sentence of up to 2 years in jail. And one of they just put out some regulations yesterday and named all those infrastructure facilities, and one of them is Town Hall Station. Now,
what?
I can't tell you how many rallies I've been to a Town Hall Station. As soon as you get a couple of thousand people at it, you inevitably start blocking access to a number of the entranceways to Town Hall Station. And under this law, unless you have the prior consent of the police to do those rallies, you can be prosecuted and face up to 2 years in jail. Now, no comparable country to Australia with a sort of democratic tradition requires protesters to get the prior consent of the police.
Right. It is a scary precedent, right? But is it within reason to think that this is, I don't know, a threat more so than it is I understand as an organiser maybe in these types of rallies that can get, from time to time, they can even get violent and stuff. That's with or without kind of the police getting involved. But some can get violent, some can be quite unruly. And maybe in those circumstances, people were probably going to get arrested anyway, and this just makes it slightly more lawful. So it's a scary precedent in that manner. But is it actually, I don't know, we're only a couple of steps away from it being, I don't know, draconian or something like that. Like, not to put words in your mouth.
The law is authoritarian. It's a right-wing authoritarian law. And it was backed in by both Labor and the Coalition. And it can be abused whenever the police want to abuse it. So that's basically a choice for the police about when they prosecute protesters, when they make protests illegal. The police now get to choose which protests are legal and which aren't. If you remember the big Black Lives Matter rally in 2020.
Yes.
The police were dead against that. They were fighting that tooth and nail in court. They did not want that to happen. They had about 1,500 police lined up to arrest people that day.
Mm.
Under these laws, that would be it. There'd be no going to the court, no decision by the court. Under these laws, if that happened again, the police not consenting would have meant those 1,500 police being sent in and mass arrests happening. Right. So we don't have to go, we don't have to speculate. We know that police have already quite entrenched discriminatory attitudes against LGBTI community, against First Nations community, against people of colour. That's where they'll start using these laws, and they'll use it when they want to.
Right, and even if you don't end up in jail for 2 years, I think it's a good 20-odd thousand that you've got to pay up, so that's good enough as well.
It's meant to have a chilling effect on protest. Mm. That's what it's intended to do. It's very clear that they want to stop protests from happening, and it's because that's a way of challenging governments that don't listen to you.
Right. Just before we move on, we'll take a slight step back. So yourself and the Greens opposed this. There was bipartisan support there between the two major parties. The Greens are essentially the third major party, right? So, I don't know, is it scary, or what are you seeing within Parliament? What are you seeing within state, and I guess what you see in federal politics, in terms of there seems to be more bipartisan kind of agreements on things, and we're, a couple of months out from a federal election, we're a year out from a state election here in New South Wales. What does that all mean? What should we be thinking as voters when we see, I don't know, these two parties that most of us are going to vote for start to, I don't know, get closer and closer together on a lot of issues and agendas and questions?
Yeah, well, I think it's a sign of politics not working. If your choices are, you know, A and B, and they're pretty much identical, they're identical on tax policies, they're identical on how they deal with corporate power, they're identical on pretty much how they deal with climate and coal and gas, that's not democracy working. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have some pretty fundamental challenges in front of us. We have fundamental challenges on climate. We've got some pretty fundamental challenges on fairness. We have more and more of our society, you know, being governed and dictated by multinational corporations that pay no tax. Mm-hmm. Like, how can it be that both parties have exactly the same solution, which is just the status quo? Nothing changes. We just keep grinding down this broken path. And I think that's a sign of politics being pretty broken. It's one of the reasons why I'm in the Greens, you know, because you need to have credible alternatives apart from just more of the same. And, you know, wages have been stagnant. Corporate profits have been record. We've seen record corporate profits. We have billionaires doubling and tripling their wealth in the last few years. And we have both major parties saying they want more of that. Well, you know, I think democracy has been pretty badly served by that, which is why we're trying to offer those alternatives.